Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're going to learn today.
Innovate like a startup. Deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's going to be a great day.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Lero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 5. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Arrow, and joining me as always is your friend and mine, Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, buddy?
It's a fantastic week. We have survived launch, so.
Yes, we did. We did. And you know what else? It is so beautiful outside right now. The birds are chirping. I mean, it's just gorgeous out today, man. The weather has finally turned.
I'm looking around. I was like, did a bird get in here? Like, what's wrong?
Yeah. No, spring is upon us. And you know what that means? That means that it's Storage Field Day week. It has been a full week of Storage Field Day here in Palo Alto. I'll tell you that much.
I was going to say, my productivity goes down immensely. And I'm really glad that they didn't start the sessions until after launch was officially, you know, a done deal. So it might have actually risked delaying a launch had they decided to, you know, improperly time.
Yeah, so as you know, I'm here in town this week to help Ben Meadowcraft, our product manager for Virtual Volumes, with the on-site beta program. And so there was a on-site beta program for all of vSphere. Part of that, of course, is Virtual Volumes. And so we're going to talk about that, you know, as much as we can, of course, because we certainly can't share any NDA information. But also, I got the opportunity to attend some of the Storage Field Day events this week, and so we can talk a little bit about that as well. But before we do, let's introduce our guest. Our guest in person here in Palo Alto is product manager of Virtual Volumes, among other things, Ben Meadowcraft. Ben, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Pete. Good to be here.
So you've been working pretty hard this week. I know that the on-site beta program is not something that you just do this week, right?
Yeah, absolutely. A busy run up to it for sure. And then as we extend the beta out for hosted betas and download betas and so on, you know, a lot of work still to do.
Absolutely. Well, before we get into the whole beta program, I thought it might make sense to start with the Storage Field Day stuff that we got the opportunity to attend this week. And so, John, did you get to catch any of them this week?
I watched about 2/3 of them. And I was really annoyed when someone would try to schedule something in the middle of a session. Because part of the fun of Storage Field Day is not just watching it live, so you know things, you know, at the same time as everyone else, but the conversations on Twitter that are going on range from highly informative to highly amusing. Hashtag make storage great again.
Yeah, absolutely. The first one was over at NetApp. They had SolidFire and NetApp sort of co-present since they're the one company now, I guess. And so I had a chance to talk to Andy Banta. Do you know Andy?
I haven't met him before.
Yeah, he used to work at VMware. I think he was a developer for iSCSI for many years. He's about like six foot five or something. Guys, he's this giant man who with this long beard. And his official title at VMware and at SolidFire is storage janitor. He's one of those old school serious storage guys. He's a lot of fun, but I pulled him in because he's doing a lot of work on Virtual Volumes, and so while he was here for the Storage Field Day week, I grabbed him, and here's what he had to say about the Storage Field Day day one.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. It was we had Dave Hitz, Joe Carradina, and Dave Wright presenting, not actually giving that much technical details, but more of just where NetApp is going strategy-wise. Dave Kitts started it off and talked about what some of the strategies were and how things might be changing a little bit by acquiring SolidFire, what some of the direction changes are that NetApp is doing. He was followed by Joe Carradina, and Joe Carradina covered some of the interesting things about allowing you to migrate storage between NetApp private storage and, the example he used was AWS and Azure cloud services, the ability to use AltaVault to move the storage cleanly between them or back into your network or NetApp private storage. And clearly the best part of the show was going to be Dave Wright. And Dave Wright talked about the lies that flash storage vendors tell. And he did a wonderful job of debunking an awful lot of the lies that are out there, awful lot of the stories that are out there. And And the best line of the entire talk was, the check cleared so I can say whatever I want.
Nice, nice.
And he closed it out with an Ask Me Anything session, you know, just what his take was on the Solid Fire acquisition. A lot of fun. I definitely think you should watch the video.
Yeah, yeah. I think I saw one of the questions was, is he driving a Ferrari now? I saw that one.
yeah, and he said it's only for the track.
Yeah. I did see part of it. Dave Hitz, I've seen him speak many times. He is amazing. So he originally wrote Waffle many years ago.
Yeah, and yes, and he said that even though he wrote Waffle without, he didn't write it with Flash in mind. It works pretty well. You know, NetApp would really take a valuable cue in allowing Dave Hitz to be one of the people who gets out in front of customers a lot more. He has the right attitude and the right personality to do that.
Well said, well said. All right. Well, so you're at SolidFire. You've been there for about a year now. I know that you were in VMware for many years, but yeah. Now you're focusing on what at SolidFire?
I'm focusing on VMware integration and right now vVol specifically. Part of the reason I'm talking to you, Pete.
Loaded question.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, just getting our vVol's implementation ready to go, and it's we're expecting it sometime this year.
Well, great, man. We're going to have you come on very soon on the Virtually Speaking podcast to do sort of a whole deep dive on what Virtual Volumes and SolidFire are doing. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, I'd love to do that. It'll be a lot of fun.
You'll have to bring some of those fancy version 3.0 socks with you.
Oh, I'm wearing them right now.
You are. All right. Thanks, man.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So I thought that was a really great session that NetApp did. I mean, I was really lucky I got the opportunity to see that. You know, all my meetings that morning just got canceled that morning. So I suddenly had like 3 hours free. And I kind of tuned into Storage Field Day, and I think NetApp did a really great job really laying out how they were looking at Flash across all of their portfolio. You know, the E-Series, the Cluster Data ONTAP, and the new SolidFire acquisition, and really the three different swim lanes that, you know, those products would be kind of targeting, the different markets there. Did a really great job explaining that. I definitely recommend looking at the replay of that session. Lots of really good positioning information. I know there's been a lot of questions about that in the market.
I was going to say, really one of my favorite things he outlined was talking about how a lot of times people look at Flash as this, it's this exotic thing, or, you know, previously I guess there were drop-in replacements. So it was viewed as just another performance tier. And then there was discoveries that we had to re-engineer platforms to better handle performance. But as time has gone on, you know, there's cases where, you know, FAS, which originally was designed for disk, they've upgraded it to handle the latencies.
Yep.
The E-Series, the Enigma, which came from the LSI acquisition, that was designed for disk. In fact, it was legendary for great streaming performance, wide striping across a lot of spindles. It's what it was good at. It was not designed for highly random, you know, flash-based workloads.
That's right.
But they talked about the code optimizations. And so it was interesting talking about, on one hand, you've had all flash products enter the market that came in as really fast and flash optimized, but didn't have a lot of data features. And then the other side of the industry, we've had these, you know, big honking arrays with these, you know, 20-year pedigrees that had all these features but weren't flash optimized.
Right.
And the kind of the question was, is, you know, will the flash vendors be able to add these features as quickly as the old array vendors will be able to optimize for flash? And I kind of had a prejudice and said, you know, you won't be able to optimize. You can't make an elephant dance. You know, you can't put a, you know, what was the analogy someone once used? Put a rocket on the back of a dinosaur, you know, and speed up those old arrays. But it's interesting seeing the market converge and meet as both the old array platforms have updated their code for flash, and then the flip side of that, the all flash designs have started to add enterprise features.
Yeah, my take on that has always been, I've never understood why there was so much emphasis on built from the ground up, because there are so many software programs that we use today that have been around for 20 plus years. Microsoft is a great example. Microsoft Windows, you're not using the same code that you used in, you know, in 3.1, right? It has been optimized, and, you know, it's totally different code. And so it's a software company. It's not a piece of hardware. So I do, but it takes time to optimize the code, right? It has, a lot of that has to be rewritten. And so NetApp has done that with their latest version of ONTAP. And so I think it was a good showing for them. I personally, I love seeing Dave Hitz, as I mentioned earlier. He's a lot of fun because he's kind of a loose cannon. Being the founder of NetApp, he can say whatever the heck he wants.
Yeah, there was the one kind of thing on that optimization tree is, you're right, you have to optimize the entire stack. And as you go up and you look at some of the TPC application benchmarks, it's very clear we've got, you know, operating systems, we've got hypervisors, we've got storage arrays that are optimized for flash. But if your database isn't optimized, you know, you're going to hit some bottlenecks. So it's interesting seeing how flash is pushing the whole stack and it's putting pressure to go farther and farther up to optimize.
From my perspective, I think Flash is definitely an enabler of all these new storage companies coming to market. But I think, you know, for me, the really interesting thing I get from a company like SolidFire that got acquired by NetApp was not so much Flash. You know, that's just an enabler. It was really about the distributed storage system that they have, you know, how it's managed, the QoS, all those great things that they brought in by looking at things a little bit differently. You know, I think there's a lot of technology that's been enabled by Flash. You know, Flash has given you kind of performance for, you know, pretty cheap, you know, not having to optimize too much, you know, because the Flash is fast, you know, whatever you stick it into, really. But, you know, the having in those additional data services, that additional way of managing and dealing storage, for me, that's kind of a real takeaway from what I was hearing.
I completely agree. Yeah. Well, so there's been several days. I didn't go to day two. I know they spoke to Violin Memory. I don't know if you heard anything about that, John, did you?
The Violin presentation was interesting because they were talking about optimizations around custom hardware, and it brought up a lot of good conversations about commodity off the shelf versus, you know, custom engineered end to end. And as we've seen with some other product announcements, it's interesting seeing we're seeing Flash, you know, split into the more exotic, I guess, interface and connectivity space versus the COTS off the shelf designs.
Yeah, I didn't see that one, but I did notice that, at least as you said earlier, following the Twitter feed, that one didn't seem to be as popular as some of the other ones.
I think it was just the time slot. A lot of people, I was kind of busy, and so I was in and out of that one.
Yep. Day three, they went to Intel, which I heard was mind blowing. Some of the stuff that Intel was sharing apparently was really good, and then they also went to Cohesity the same day, so they sort of did a twofer on that day.
The Intel, what was really unique was they were talking about how they simulate cosmic rays and actually talked about going and basically bombarding drives with radiation to simulate silent data corruption.
Wow. Did they share anything about what happens when they do that?
Well, they were talking about things in their controller design, and they were talking about things in terms of on their enterprise line, once they start detecting silent data corruption that's going on with the drive, they will basically brick the drive. So it'll throw faults to the higher levels and go ahead and start a RAID rebuild or so forth. And so it wasn't just about trying to, you know, run background scrubs or manage that, but also it was about interacting with the higher levels and kind of their strategy for that.
That is pretty cool. Yep. So that was day three. And I think, let's see if I remember correctly, they went to Intel. After that, they went to Cohesity, and they ended up at VMware this morning, which to me was the highlight of the week. I was fortunate enough to sit in the room and actually watch that storage field day. So it started out with Yan Bing, who gave a high level corporate overview of virtual SAN, and then the group very receptive to that. Then Christos, man, he jumped in and stole the show. He had a major deep dive on virtual SAN 6.2. And I have to tell you, I can't put it any other way. He literally just hit the ball out of the park. I mean, he walked through all of the technical aspects, a lot of the new features in 6.2, but he was fielding questions left and right about just about anything that they threw his way. And then the answers that were in the room were overwhelmingly positive. Everybody was like, wow, that is exactly what I wanted to hear. Certainly my favorite was Howard Marks was sitting in the very front row. And he asked Christos a question around I think it was around snapshots with virtual SAN, and Christos responded, "Well, I actually wrote that code, so allow me to explain how that works." And and then he went in and explained the entire thing, and Howard Marks's response was, "That was exactly what I wanted to hear." And so it seemed to go over really well.
Yeah, I think one of the things that really stood out for me when Christos was going through his presentation, he shared some really good performance information, a lot of metrics that they'd observed when they were doing things like the deduplication and erasure coding and the impact of that on the actual applications. But I think what was really impressive was that it was really real-world workloads. You know, it wasn't looking for the hero numbers. It was actual practical applications running representative workloads and showing real performance benefits and real space efficiency benefits as well. Is well received.
So there were no lab queens there?
The lab queen. That mythical, you know, the bomb would cost $20 million. You've somehow amassed 3,000 flash drives.
Exactly.
You know, with the wind at your back. And you've actually made custom fiber channel cables that are only 3 inches long to shorten the... You know, I've had some friends, and I did a little work in competitive some years back that I don't necessarily claim to be proud of, but... Wow. That is like a weird subset of the world, the stuff people do to optimize and make those numbers look really good. yeah, the Christos really, there was real world workloads. And there was even a case where he's like, you know, here's a use case where you would want to actually seriously consider enabling these features. It wasn't, you know, they showed the corner cases or the cases where you would be concerned more so than others.
Yep. And then Mr. Punching Clouds, Rollinson Rivera, jumped in on the last 10 minutes and he did a demonstration on a live demo. He jumped into his lab and he did a stretch cluster failover. And it was flawless, man. Those things were up in seconds. It was pretty awesome. And then right after he left, I grabbed him real quick. And so Mr. Rollinson Rivera had a couple of comments on the on Storage Field A9. Take a listen.
I think it was well received. All those guys, there were some guys that were very kind of reserved towards vSAN and the stuff that we're doing there. And they seemed to be very friendly, very understanding of what we're trying to achieve, and dove into the technology very deep. And Chris was able to kind of give them right back. And they seemed pretty pleased at the end. One of the big focuses that we're trying to do, and Chris has explained this, and we demo some of that stuff, is around the management aspect of it. Delivering an enterprise management for your infrastructure in a hyper-convergent way that manages your storage, but in the same concept as we do vSphere. So we're not trying to deliver something completely new. We're improving upon what's there, and we enhance and move on so that we can deliver better results, making management a lot easier and more efficient than it was before, which is, in a sense, it's one of the principles of vSAN, right? Eliminating complexity from the infrastructure as well as the consumption and delivery of the storage and the services that are there.
What I really liked about them presenting on the management is things like the performance monitoring service, the health check, just how easy it is to set up a stretch cluster. You know, vSAN, they talked about, you know, kind of the history. The first product was about, you know, just getting stability and performance. But as we've iterated since then, we've added all of this great management. And some of that management works with the storage-based policy management framework, which obviously ties great with vVols. So if a customer wants to use vSAN for one workload and they've got other workloads that need external storage, I'm not going to say vSAN is the only storage product. You can use and manage both together. You've got a very clean framework to work together holistically. And that's a really great story as opposed to, I guess, some of the alternative products that are focused on this should be your only storage from now on till the end of time. There's only one architecture, one array. And that was one conversation that kept coming out across all of Storage Field Day, is that, you know, there is no one architecture to rule them all.
I really feel like you were goading me into playing the clip.
Lungs suck.
When you said that.
There we go. There we go. That's what I was going for. Yeah. The other exciting thing they mentioned was talking about SAP HANA, which is in-memory databases are really one of the holy grail of crazy workloads. Until you start getting into the HPC realm where, you know, you have 50 petabytes of in-memory or something. But we've actually passed the performance benchmarks for SAP HANA with vSAN. The problem is, and I don't mean to point any fingers at you know, our friends with SAP, but they don't know how to certify HCI. They don't know how to certify software storage specifically.
Right.
They're used to, here is a hardware device, we certify that. And so we're actually having to work with them to come up with a solution so that they can certify vSAN. And I expect some of our competitors in the software storage space are going to benefit from this and are probably, you know, enjoying that we're pushing for this. But
yeah, they're probably experiencing that same thing though, right? Because if you're trying to get certification with HCI and SAP is like, wait, I want hardware. What is this whole HCI thing?
Yeah, and that's a fun thing. But it's great to see we're able to deliver, you know, microseconds of latency for one of the most exotic and demanding workloads on the planet.
Yep. All right, well, I had one more clip from Storage Field Day before we jump into the on-site beta, but there's a gentleman who's in the social world, Matthew Lieb. I don't know if you know him, but he used to work at EMC, but he was one of the members of the Tech Field Day group that came in, and here's what he had to say about the event. All right, I'm here with Matthew Lieb from Onyx Enterprise Solutions, and Matthew, we just finished the VMware presentation for SFD9. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I was really impressed with the improvement in vSAN since the last time I saw it. I don't know if you remember, but I was in this room about a year ago, year and a half or so, getting trained on vSAN.
Right.
And the improvements, particularly the metrics against what your storage deliverables are since then, implementation choices, et cetera, are really substantial. And what I was really impressed with, I think particularly, was the lack of overall impact from dedupe and compression. I've seen some systems that actually operate better with compression.
Right.
But the dedupe is almost always a hit, and in this case, not so much.
Yeah, I think that interview kind of really highlights one of the key things that I got out of the session as well. And I saw on Twitter as well, lots of tweets going on saying, hey, one of my favorite ones was by Enrico Signoretti. He says, it's incredible how much vSAN has improved in just 2 years. And, you know, when we threw up that slide that had, hey, these are the four releases of vSAN, these are all the new features that are in each release. Just looking at that, you see, wow, you know, that team has done a great job delivering.
I completely agree. All right, let's move on to the on-site beta. That's why I was here this week. And I know, Ben, you've been working really hard on the vVols portion of that on-site beta. As a spectator and sort of a sitting inside the room, I think it went really well. Of course, we're not going to talk about too many of the features that were tested, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on sort of how the beta went and any feedback that you heard from anybody while we were doing the demonstration in the lab.
Yeah, I think the beta actually went really well. I think it's always great when you're able to actually show customers what you've been working on, get them to try it out and really see what their thoughts and impressions are. You know, as with all betas, you know, we're giving pre-release code to the customers, we're taking them through it. There's always going to be niggles and improvements that we can make. One of the key things is the user experience feedback that we get from the customers. It's really important to know, hey, you guys, you delivered it this way, but actually it doesn't quite match up with how we think operationally. And if you just tweaked it just this little bit, it would really be helpful. So getting that kind of input back from the customers is just really valuable and really helps drive the product forward.
Oh, absolutely. That's kind of what that was my takeaway, is you're standing behind someone doing the lab and they'd ask a question around like, well, what does that actually mean? And then you think, oh, wait, that's a term that we use here in VMware that might not be as, you know, commonly accepted to someone who's never seen it before. So that, to me, that's like one of the more powerful things around the beta, is that you're having these people, fresh eyes, look at it and say, hey, it should be this way, or what does this mean? And so there were a couple of times like that I saw that I thought were really helpful. And I know that we took that feedback, brought it in, and that's the kind of stuff that we get to bring into the development team later.
What really excites me about vVols is you're kind of changing the traditional management paradigm from being a bottom-up management approach to where that's, you know, the storage array, whoever's happens is working in and managing directly, they're driving the feature selection and pushing things up, to being a top-down in terms of the management plane being moved up to the hypervisor. And I can see how a beta is going to be critical to getting customers in front, because you're going to have different people in some cases involved in these conversations. Now, there are, you know, plenty of people who do both storage and virtualization, but you're going to find a different group of people, so to speak, people who maybe are VMware people first and storage people second, rather than the other way around.
Oh, yeah. It's funny, there are different challenges and different reasons why people want to use vVols. One of them that came up, there was a gentleman that I got to interview. He's from SAP. His name is Shane Parker. Great guy. And he was saying, you know, in his experience, like, their storage team is actually outsourced. And so it creates a little bit of a challenge in terms of, you know, how they do management, because it's not all in the same group, right? So that complicates things. And so while the team that does it, he was mentioning, does a great job, it's just that it's they like the idea of putting everything, you know, in the hands of the virtual administrators. And so here's what Shane had to say about that.
From our perspective, you know, we offer a service in cloud, and that service consists of multiple components. And I believe throughout the industry, the pain is felt of having different organizations under different jurisdictions being involved in a solution that encompasses all of them. It causes some friction. And for us, the more we can converge all these technologies and put them under the same administrators, the better off we'll be to have a better cohesive platform. So, you know, we've been going over some of the new components and features of vSphere, and they may lend themselves to doing some of that.
I think the point that John mentioned about, you know, the people who are in the beta were typically the vSphere administrators. And when we're developing the products, you know, we're conscious of the vSphere administrators and the storage administrators, and we sometimes mix the two together a little bit at times. So for example, you know, just theoretically, you know, if we were to talk about replication consistency groups, for example, I talked to a storage administrator about that. They'd know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, they know, oh yeah, write order consistency, you know, ensuring everything, you know, is replicated consistently, blah, blah, blah. They understand those concepts. When we talk to the vSphere administrators and we say, hey, you know, now you can put everything in the same consistency group and replication group, and they're like, what? Explain that to me, you know, kind of give me the next level of detail on that. And, you know, my background's with SRM. Pete, I know we worked a lot together when you were at NetApp. I was at VMware on SRM. So that was the customers I was used to talking to. They were really familiar with that. And I go, you know, presenting to vSphere customers. For some of them, like John was saying, it's, you know, it's two different worlds sometimes. They don't necessarily know the terminology, you know, of the storage guys and the virtual guys. And, you know, we got to bridge that gap. And that top-down management approach, you know, and enabling it for the vSphere administrators, I think will help go a long way towards that.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, it's very true, because you stare at some of these vSphere administrators and they're looking at these tasks and you're like, oh, you don't get that. Oh, that's right. You're a vSphere administrator. Okay, never mind. That's fine. I mean, it is what it is. Yeah, so there was a little bit of that. I also spoke to another good friend of mine who was in town for the beta from Chevron, Chris Chua. He's been an SRM administrator for many years, and he's a vExpert and just, you know, great guy in the community. And so he was here helping contribute to the beta, and here's what Chris had to say.
You look a little tired. Have you been doing labs all day?
All day. We're at day 3 of 4. They've been, you know, pounding these on us. They want to get our feedback, and we're almost there.
Nice, nice. Well, we're not going to be able to share any of the details of the good stuff that you've been learning, but just speaking generally about the product, or sorry, about the program, how did you hear about the on-site beta program?
My great Tam actually, I think, put my name in for this, but, you know, I also, you know, keep tabs on a lot of the people that a lot of the PMs and various TMMs that are involved. So yeah, but you know, get a TAM. TAMs are great. They know about these things.
That's awesome. So has it been worthwhile for you to actually see what's going on and maybe even provide some feedback?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can get involved in any of the betas or as early as you can in the product development workflow is the best chance for you to get your say and how you want this to work for you or for your group or whatever.
All right, thanks for your time, man.
Thank you.
So get a TAM, absolutely.
Oh, no, I was going to say, we might want to clarify what a TAM is there.
Yeah, a technical accounts manager, right?
Correct.
So yeah, anybody interested in actually being in any of these future on-site betas at VMware, certainly reach out to your TAM and see if you can get it. I think it's a worthwhile experience. It's a couple of days of getting in there and kicking the tires, and you know, it's not easy. You're going to be doing, you know, labs day in and day out, but I think it's a beneficial both for the folks that come in to try it, as well as the feedback that, you know, the product managers get to really pass back to the development teams. I think it's invaluable. So the last interview I have is from the senior manager of the vVol development team, Patrick Dirks. And he was in on the room as well. He was fielding questions. Actually, a lot of the developers were there, and they were covering all the different labs and answering questions. And so it was a really cool effort to see live. And so here's what Patrick had to say after the labs were over.
All right. Well, joining me now is the manager of the core vVol team, Mr. Patrick Dirk. Patrick, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Pete. Good to be here.
So we're here on the on-site beta of Virtual Vimes. We just finished going through the labs. Any impressions?
Yeah, it was great hearing from actual customers and what they were looking forward to doing with vVols as soon as they got around to installing 6.0. It's great to hear from customers actually specifying vVols in their bid proposals and whatnot, saying as a must-have. So looking forward to more things to come.
So any particular comments that stuck with you from this meeting?
Yeah, it was interesting to hear people talk about the difficulties they were having doing backups of certain applications, trying to get them quiesced, and the hoops they had to jump through to do that with RDMs and whatnot. And you know, really looking forward to being able to do that easily on a per application basis with vVols, where you can just get a quiesced snapshot of just your application with no storage involvement. So,
excellent, excellent. Well, I'm going to ask you to commit to coming on the podcast and doing a deep dive on some of these issues around virtual volumes. We've done one episode so far that was sort of an introduction to virtual volumes, but we definitely want to start to tear apart some of the individual pieces like backups and how snapshots, things like that. So this is my extension of an invitation to you to come on and dive in the weeds with us.
That sounds great. Yeah, lots of good material to cover there, so look forward to it.
Awesome. Thanks, Patrick.
Hey, thank you.
Yep, that was Mr. Dirks, man. He is amazing. So we're definitely going to get him in. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, he'll certainly take you into the weeds if you get him. He's a good guy to talk to about vVols.
Yeah, so that wraps up the on-site beta. What's next in terms of beta?
So, Pete, yeah, if you don't have a friendly Tam who has hooked you up with the on-site betas, you certainly have opportunities to get involved. You know, we have public blog posts asking people, you know, who are interested to sign up, you know, because we have things like hosted betas, download betas that we do just to get those features out there, to get feedback from a wider variety of customers. And, you know, if you sign up for those, you know, that vSphere beta program, you know, you get access to communities, to download software. There's you can share information across community members. Lots of really great interaction, you know, and you're also able to ask questions and give direct feedback. you know, they have webinars, discussion forums, service requests, etc. All that stuff around the beta is available. So you're really able to put your input in on the product at a really early stage. You know, because I'm sure all of us, you know, have received a product at some point and wish, oh, I wish I could have told them this or this. You know, the beta program is a really great way to get your voice heard early.
Awesome. We'll definitely share a link to that. All right, John, you have anything else before we take off?
No, it's been an exhausting week between launch and then just the sheer awesomeness of Storage Field Day. So
oh, yeah.
I'm ready for the weekend.
Tell me about it, man. I got to get on a red eye now and head back out to the East Coast. All right. Well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes or SoundCloud by going to Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. Next week, we're bringing in GS Khalsa to talk about SRM, one of our favorite products. And so until then, bye for now. I do not like red eyes.
I was going to say, I am strangely good at falling asleep on a plane for as tall as I am.
Not me, man. I'm afraid I'm going to just like snore, so I completely stay wide awake and panic the entire time.
I was just grateful you guys didn't ask me any difficult questions about the beta. Yeah, I didn't want to be like that Francis Urquhart guy. You know, it's like, you know, you may think that, but I couldn't possibly comment.
So tell us now, as the music's going out, what's in the beta?
Oh, well...
Ha 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 ha.